So that flips us back down to the proposed compensation reductions, hiring freeze. Where do we want to go with this? Deputy Warden?
Can I just get clarification on the five positions, Director Nitsch, that you were talking about previously? I think there may have been a misunderstanding around what is actually on hold and what is proposed to be moving forward. So just if you could clarify that, I'd appreciate it.
Director?
Yes, of course, through the warden. So there are five staffing issue papers from last year that were to take effect in 2025. One is a GPL life enrichment. So this is related to upstaffing for the new move into the new building. It's not necessarily one FTE, but additional hours. It amounted to, and there is funding that covers part of the position. So the levy impact was projected at $54,000. The other same thing, GPL, but dietary, and a little bit more, $58,000 impact the levy. So we've taken that number from 2025 and cut it in half. So those two positions are still in the budget as it's drafted currently, with an impact of approximately $25,000 each on the levy, because we still have to upstaff at the end of the year for the move into the new building. There is one position for communications. That's the communications officer for capital projects. That's a position that's been a contract position for, I believe, 3 years now, and the multi-year budget approved it moving to a full-time position. And it is covered by funding for our capital projects. So that one is not currently, or excuse me, that those numbers are still included in the budget because it has no levy impact. The funding comes from capital projects. The other position is information technology service desk analyst, $90,000, and that supports shared services. So we've kept that in the budget. And the final position is for legal and legislative services, an assistant valued at $85,000. So that is the only position that is in the list of issue papers proposed to be postponed.
Deputy Warden?
Can you just clarify the communications position for capital projects and how we're accounting for that?
Director?
So it is communications officer capital projects. Kate could speak more to the position itself, but we're charging the cost of that position to the projects that it's working on. So no direct levy impact, but the funding for the position comes from whatever the funding is for the project that it's working on.
As a follow-up, that line has to be covered by somewhere in the county. So where is that money getting charged to?
So it depends on what the project is. So for the GPL, it would be partially reserves. It would be partially debt. It depends on the project. For the Trent River Crossing, it would be, at the moment, in our long-term plan, reserves. So it and development charges. So it really depends on what the project is that they're working on.
CAO.
And I think just to add, there are occasions where it is also funded through external funding. So, for example, we receive significant funding for Elgin Park from other levels of government. So that would be a portion of the overall cost that we have to administer that. When we look at broadband, there's admin dollars that go with that funding, that it would be a portion of that. So it is truly a blend of county owned source revenue and other sources of revenue.
Anything further for members of council? Councillor Martin?
Just a reminder of how that came to be. when we have capital projects, large capital project, it was identified in a previous term that it really did help enormously if we had direct communications that was communicating with the public and so on the projects as we proceeded, that also the communication should always be built into any of these capital projects that we have in terms of keeping people informed, keeping them up to date, and information flow. And I think it has paid dividends in the past in terms of the projects that we have had undertaken. And as a communicator myself, personally, I see the value of always building in communications into whatever it is we do and pay attention to that. This is how it came up. It's been a 3-year part, you know, just contract position. So now they're wanting to incorporate it however you want to go on that. But that's where the thrust came from.
Councillor Cleveland, thank you.
Noting that, appreciate the history, Councillor Martin. I think from my perspective or from this seat and just the 2 years I've served, as a level of government, we should be looking to restrict and or reduce or eliminate large capital projects from the near future. Therefore, any position associated with large capital projects should also be looked at in the same way, that we should be looking to reduce any possible exposure to large capital projects. We should be looking at ways to reduce our spending. And if we're hiring staff on the basis of increasing spending and increasing projects, we have to do an immediate rethink. So again, here we are agreeing, Councillor Martin.
If we're going to be talking about an individual role, we probably need to proceed into closed session, just FYI. So if we're going to continue to do that, let's do that. Otherwise, we'll keep it high level. Members of council? Okay, so where do we want to go with, I mean, we also received a report enclosed with regard to a hiring freeze. Is there anything further we want to do with that in terms of providing a recommendation? Would you like to see the recommendation that was in the closed session? We're permitted to do so because it would be discussed in open. Yeah. Madam Clerk, if you would. And Councillor Logal, you had your hand up, so go ahead.
I'd just like to clarify that any gapping that we have today, we're not planning on filling them for the rest of all of 2025.
CL?
If maybe a little more clarification on the gapping from 2024.
I suppose it could be from 24, yeah. Any positions that we have open today, are we planning on filling them in 2025?
Sale.
That is for council. We're awaiting council direction. If it were a normal course of business, then if they're approved and on the org chart, then staff would fill those positions in a matter of course, unless we receive other direction from council today as part of the budget.
Deputy Warden.
So using the definition that is being suggested by staff for essential services, how many of those positions would need to be filled in terms of the gapping for 2025 that are currently vacant?
CEO?
I'll maybe get our Director of Corporate Services to speak to that.
Through the warden, in the report, the positions that were vacant as at December 4th or in the recruitment process included community and social services, an Ontario Works supervisor, and a housing and homelessness supervisor. Economic development tourism planning was a seasonal inspector, food production workers. Finance was a financial analyst for broadband. The Golden Plough Lodge, 38 positions inclusive of PSWs, registered practical nurses, registered nurses, all unionized positions with the exception of associate director of care. Information technology was on service desk analyst. Northumberland Paramedics was a variety of frontline positions, and Public Works had building superintendent, project manager, mechanic, roll-off driver, and a supervisor of waste operation. Of those, primarily the majority were deemed essential by staff because of either they're in a fully funded, they're fully funded positions, so we receive funding to offset the cost of them. They're partially funded, such as the paramedics, but they are an essential service for the service that they deliver. Positions like a mechanic is an example. The roads operations are dependent on having the mechanics on staff in order to keep the fleets moving. The service desk analyst is a position that I believe is offset partially by external funding with our member municipalities. So those that would be deemed not necessary, perhaps, are food production workers at the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center. That would have a direct impact on our ability to meet the service demands of that area, but may not be deemed essential. The seasonal inspector is a position that is just that, is seasonal. There's nobody in that position at this point in time, although it is vacant, would be filled mid-year next year. So that's just a brief overview as at December 4th for the vacancies. Of the 91 vacancies, student positions were included in that. There were 68 positions, not including the student positions. So student recruitment is something that we would normally begin this time of year to fill for the summer of 2025.
Thank you. You have a follow-up?
Just for clarification, I wasn't really looking at the full list of vacancies that we have, just really drilling down to those that are considered to be non-essential using the criteria that were recommended in the report to us. That's really all I was looking at, not maybe deemed, but actually using the criteria that was in the report. So being really precise about using the definition or the approach that was recommended in the staff report to translate into what that means in terms of non-essential positions.
Director?
Through you, Warden, in that case, I would say that there are very few on that list that would be deemed non-essential.
Director Nitsch, looking at this resolution in front of me, can you estimate the savings if we passed this motion as it stands? And while you're considering that, I'll go to Councillor Cleveland.
No, Warden, you asked the same question. I just want to know, like, does this motion actually save any dollars, or are we in a $30,000, $40,000 number again? And it sounds like we're already there, so I don't think we need to know, but by all means.
Warden, I apologize, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there was a section in the director's report that looked at the non-GPL, non-paramedic positions, and then looked at those that weren't funded or received revenue from other sources. And there was a number associated with that. Maybe I'll turn it over to her to answer that, but I will point out at this point in time that we budget, and council may not be aware of this, but we budget $450,000 in gapping already. So whatever savings there is from not filling positions, we have to deduct $450,000 from that, so we don't double count that savings.
So from a budgetary perspective, it's a shell game. We're talking about a shell game that would not really impact the levy.
Well, there may be a small impact to the levy, but it's hard to know. If we're talking about not filling positions that become vacant during the year, it's hard to give an exact number because we don't know if they'll be essential. We don't know if they'll have funding associated with them or not. So there was a number in the report based on what's vacant now. That...
Director Ainsworth.
Through you, Warden. So the vacant positions as at the time of the writing of the report, student positions, not recruiting for students, would yield a savings of $332,718. The cost to fill the current vacancies, excluding the students, so for paramedics and Golden Plow Lodge and all other positions, is $1.219 million. However, that does not factor in the funding that is received for the positions. Some are fully funded, some are 50% funded, and others are covered by user fees. So that would amount to 360, that would be reduce the amount by $362,856 for a potential levy savings of $856,445. But that should be reduced by the $406,445, factoring in salary gapping already included in the budget.
But some of those positions you mentioned are positions we would consider essential.
Correct.
CAO.
We did have a discussion earlier about looking at how we budget for interest revenue, for example. And we know that we do budget that conservatively. And when we look at the funds that Matthew mentioned around what we put in as a placeholder for salary gapping, we put in $450,000 a number of years ago. It was a couple hundred thousand dollars. We found that as the organization has become more complex and more services we do, we see turnover, and we look at the trends and the challenges and how long it takes us to hire. That number has been bumped up to $450,000. That number is probably slightly conservative, not excessive, but a bit on the conservative side, as we've mentioned earlier. One option is to look at increasing that anticipated gapping and then monitoring that and adjusting our recruitment practices throughout the year if we find that we're not meeting what we expected to achieve in the budget just from natural savings of overall staff turnover. I acknowledge that does not leave positions vacant if there wanted to be other decisions made by council, but what it would do is keep the operation flowing, but it just expand on what we do anticipate. It probably will be slightly higher than the 450, just what we're seeing with timing to fill positions and the number of vacancies that we have, and that would not be as disruptive to services overall.
Thank you, Deputy Warden.
I think this exercise, like the others, has really highlighted for me that what we're talking about here is a small change compared to the larger conversations that we need to have around restructuring, where we're going to find the really substantive changes. So in many ways, it's been a valuable exercise because it actually convinces me even more of the need to have that longer, more complex and robust process take place.
Thank you for that, Councillor Cleveland.
Yeah, thank you. Following that, I mean, with all due respect to my fellow council members, all positions in this organization are essential to someone, whether it's a plow operator, whether it's a recycling person, or whether it's a food service person at one of our events. It's essential to someone. Being leaders, making cuts, rethinking services, reducing the tax levy is not an easy job. It is not meant to be one. That's why we all chose to run for it. We have a very clear mandate from our public that life is becoming unaffordable. We as those elected leaders know that to be true. We are doing a dance here around what is and isn't essential. We're the ones around this council table who get to decide that. We're the ones who decide what is and isn't essential. And what is essential to me is that we find savings and that we reduce empire building. So, if we don't know and I can't seem to understand or know what it is, then let's put it to a number. I would like to see $1.5 million in staff wages not be hired this year. I'll let staff pick what that $1.5 million looks like. If that's the option we go with, then we let staff decide what positions they're going to do without. But I would like a reduction in $1.5 million in salary. That could be one methodology we go through on this. That way we're not deciding what staff level is and isn't here. We're just saying you guys have $1.5 million to pay staff with. Please let us know how that's going to go. I'm open to suggestions of this council, but going around in circle after circle saying there's nothing we can do is not true. We at this council can do anything. We just had a resolution to take $10 million or $6 million and pay off debt. What department are we going to look at cutting today? What service are we not going to provide today? What are we going to tell the residents we're doing to make life more affordable from this level of government? I'm hearing everything's essential. Well, then what essential service are we going to cut? Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else on the hiring freeze note? And is there a motion to put on the floor, or do we move on? Councillor Cleveland.
I put forward a full hiring freeze for 3 months until this council can come to a decision of what positions it will not be moving forward with. That puts the onus on this council to make a decision in 3 months.
Seconded by the deputy warden. Effective today, January 1?
Yeah, the motion will be effective as of today's meeting, that until this council can decide a path forward for staffing and services to be provided, no staff shall be hired in any department, in any role, at all, until decision of this council is made to a path forward. And I will give this council up to 3 months to do that, because we can't be asking the staff to do without for more than that.
I would think that we'd want to make sure that we said non-legislated roles.
I would not, Warden. I would put the pressure on this council by saying all roles. Let's put the fire under this council's feet to actually make an important and appropriate decision for the future of our finances.
I just wouldn't want to see us get fined for not hiring enough PSWs or nurses or what have you at long-term care, or have funding pulled because we weren't hiring enough paramedics, etc.
With all due respect, Warden, with the looming potential strike action, we could be in that phase much sooner than worrying about our staffing freezes.
I don't think a potential job action in one department would cause any ripples in other areas of the organization. Just trying to be very careful how I say all those things. Councillor Logal.
Yes, through you, Warden, I'd just like to ask my friend, Councillor Cleveland, where he come up with the $1.5 million?
I just threw that number out, Councillor. I'm saying as a suggestion that if we can't find a position that we can remove for more than $50,000 or $60,000, then perhaps we set the number we'd like to see come off future budgets, and I used an arbitrary number of $1.5 million. Happy to discuss that. Assuming a $300,000, that was 5%. That's why I went with $1.5 million at a $300,000 increase per percent. $1.5 million is a 5% reduction to the tax base. That's why I came with.
And I guess my question would be, I would much rather know how many people that we have on staff today and make a 1% cut in staff or whatever, rather than a $1.5 million. And I'm just picking the same figures.
Understood, Councillor Martin.
As I understand it, $750,000, Matthew, represents one tax. So it's two tax points increase, 2% increase on the tax bill. Sorry.
Deputy Warden.
So although I was supporting what Councillor Cleveland put on the table, I can't support, to your point, needing to make sure that we cover off what we're legislatively required to do. Having said that, I do think that we need to have a special meeting ASAP to actually drill down on these issues and start making some decisions, because we are going around in circles. And I think that the reports we saw today really do signal very strongly that we need to have a robust, aggressive, and real discussion about some of the decisions that we need to make.
Thank you. So we will have a motion. I'll read it. We'll see what happens there. But Deputy Warden, the clerk's handed you a sheet so you can draft a motion to that effect if you think that that's appropriate. We're debating a motion we really don't know the full wording of yet, but is there any further discussion? When I get the full wording, I'll read it to y'all. It is moved by Councillor Cleveland, seconded by Deputy Warden Henkifsky, that County Council approve a full hiring freeze effective as of December 18th. 2024 for a period of 3 months for all positions. And further, the County Council directs staff to bring forward a report to a future special council meeting within that three-month period outlining options for how we are going to move forward as a council reducing, quote, empire building, unquote. Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Well, go ahead. Discussion.
Under discussion.
Yeah.
Personally, I think the quote empire building is inappropriate. If it's seriously there as you read it,
yeah.
I would strongly suggest that that component be removed.
Is there another term you'd like to use? How are we going to move forward as a council reducing,
increasing staff numbers?
Reducing, increasing staff numbers. Can we put it on the screen, please? As a council to reduce staff numbers. Yeah, Deputy Warden, are you okay with that change? Yeah.
I just want to talk about where what I was talking about overlaps with this, which is that I don't think that a conversation about staff numbers can be separate from a larger larger discussion about how we're going to move forward with an organizational and service review process. I see these things as in tandem. So I would like to see us having a special council meeting in January of 2025 to discuss options for organizational service review, including the consideration of all essential and non-essential staff positions with the purpose of reducing overall staff numbers.
Are you removing your name as the seconder to this existing motion?
Well, I'm seeing whether or not there could be an opening for an amendment to this existing motion.
By all means, Warden, I put it on the floor to start the discussion. I have no affiliation or attachment to this said motion. I'm open to any changes that this council chooses to make.
My suggestion would be that we put what you've said on the floor as a motion to have that meeting rather than provide a full hiring freeze that may put us in a precarious position from a...
Then let's move to the vote, Warden. So moved.
So I do have a mover and a seconder on this motion as it reads on screen. Councillor Martin?
As I'm looking at this, I think the presumption is that staffing is the only way to save money. Is that what I'm reading? Because that seems to be the end goal, to move forward as a council to reduce staff numbers. Is that the end goal? Because all I'm looking for is an examination of all our functions and how can we save money, period, economically. But to say it's going to be staff isn't necessarily true, right? If you start looking at the cost or how we receive the supplies or how we buy, these are all things that are not examined by us. And I think it's actually pretty arrogant, the seven of us sitting here like we know what we're talking about. I do regard us all with certain expertise, but there are many things we are not experts on.
Well, I would argue that we're not supposed to be experts. We're supposed to be generalists around this table. So we've got a motion on the floor. Councillor Crate?
I would not support motion for a complete hiring freeze. I would support Councillor Hankiski's idea of having it as soon as possible a meeting to discuss the organization, so on and so forth. But
fair enough. But we have a motion for a hiring freeze, etc., on the floor. Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Those opposed? The motion is defeated.
I apologize, Warden. It is now 10 to 4. I have 10 minutes to get to my my Council of Northumberland meeting, so I will be leaving to go to that council meeting to discuss that budget.
Very well.
So, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your meeting.
Thank you. Deputy Warden, do you have some wording to consider?
Sure. It's much the same of what I just mentioned before, is that the motion would be that County Council have a special meeting in January 2025 to discuss concrete steps for an organization/service review, including but not limited to all staff positions. So it addresses Councillor Martin's concerns that it's not just about staff, but it needs to also include a consideration of staff, and within that, really grappling with essential and non-essential.
Thank you for that. Did you get that wording? We're good. Yeah. I can read that. Yeah. It's moved by Deputy Warden Hankifsky, and I'll need a seconder that County Council direct staff to arrange for a special County Council meeting in January 2025 to discuss concrete steps for an organizational service delivery review, including but not limited to all staff positions. Is there a seconder? Is there a thirder? It's moved by Deputy Warden Hankifsky, seconded by Councillor Martin. Discussion. Councillor Jibb.
I would have liked to have seen the word cost savings in that motion. I don't believe it's there.
Your microphone, please.
Sorry, I'm happy to do a friendly amendment on, instead of just calling it a review, add cost savings review.
So concrete steps for an organizational/service delivery cost savings review? Sure. Any further discussion? Oh, sorry. Councillor Martin, you okay with that? Any further discussion? All in favor? Being none opposed, that motion's carried.